Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be discussing with Mufti Shafiq Jakura and Mawlana Muhammad Vanga. We will be discussing anger management in our panel discussion. We'd like to now welcome Mufti Shafiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
And we also welcome Mawlana Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to both Mawlana and Mufti Saab and to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu feekum and jazakallahu khairan for the opportunity.
Mawlana, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are discussing anger management. As we all know, anger is, and we've all felt it, that it is a fleeting annoyance or a full-fledged rage. And sometimes we know that anger is completely a normal human emotion, but when it gets out of control and turns destructive, it can lead to many problems, problems at work, in our personal relationships, and in our overall quality of life. So inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be discussing anger management. And we begin this discussion, Mufti Saab, by asking the first question, that as an introduction to this topic here, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran with regards to anger?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد respected Mawlana and listeners of Radio Islam it's a very important topic that we are discussing this morning and something that you know is affecting large parts of the community. Either we have, as you say, anger is something which is natural, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has built as an intrinsic quality in a human being. And if a person does not have anger, then he does not have one of the important qualities that a human being is supposed to have. And at the same time, if he has too much of, if he is not able to control that anger, then it leads to destructive consequences. So therefore, it is very important for us to understand what anger is and to what levels, at what point in time, when we can give vent to that anger, and also at which times it is extremely important for us to manage that anger. Coming to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about anger in the Holy Quran, then it is very interesting to note that the word anger has been mentioned in many places in the Quran Sharif. In fact, in the very opening verse, or in the very opening chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about anger as well in the dua that, oh Allah, we seek guidance. And we seek of you that to give us, to show us the path of those who have earned your favor, and غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, and not the path of those who have earned your anger. So in the very opening verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about anger, and that is of course the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone becomes worthy or makes themselves worthy of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such a person is doomed to destruction. That is one part of the anger which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses. And then it is mentioned again in many parts of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his anger, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is upon certain people for the sins that they commit and so forth. So that is one part of anger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also discusses the fact that on occasions the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they became angry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Musa alayhi salam, for example, where he says, وَرَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا, that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam returned to his people in a state of anger. It was the occasion on which the Bani Israel, they had started to take a deity besides Allah when Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was gone onto Mount Tur or Mount Sinai. For 40 days he went there, and behind him, whilst he was away, his people, the Bani Israel, took a deity beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Musa alayhi salam was definitely angered by this, because he had taught them to worship one Allah, one God, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about anger as well. And of course that was an occasion to become angry, because and to give vent to that anger, to show a person that that you are angry. And that was an occasion that it was permissible for Hazrat Musa alayhi salam to give vent to that sort of anger. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the muttaqeen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared vast jannat and garden for them beneath which rivers flow. And Allah, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some qualities of theirs. And from amongst those qualities are الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, that they are those who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They help the needy, they help the destitute, they assist in the causes of deen. And irrespective of what their condition is, that means in times of prosperity and even in times of adversity, to whatever extent they do, they can help, they do help. And the third quality, or the second quality rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these muttaqeen, in other words, taqwa is essentially the purpose of which we have been sent into this world, to attain taqwa. From amongst the second qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here is that they are those who وَالْقَابِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that these muttaqeen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who drink up their anger. That is anger that may not be justified, or it is not necessary to give vent to that particular anger, so they drink up that anger, they swallow it. They do not give vent to it, and they forgive, they overlook. They have large hearts. They do not become petty about small little issues. And they forgive Allah subhanahu and they forgive the people who have caused them to become angry. So this is a third type of anger which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to in the Holy Quran. And that is the anger perhaps that we are speaking about today, that the importance of controlling, of swallowing, that particular anger.
Indeed, Malang, we look at anger management, and we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to control our anger and giving us examples of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and Malang Muhammad, you can give us some advices on what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam had given us regarding anger management.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmatuhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. We begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we send countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable companions, his household, and those who follow him. Our reference for navigation and guidance, like I always say, is the Quran kareem and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, this is a very, very important, it is an integral topic. You know, we look at anger management, because this is something that affects a person not only in his individual capacity. At times we find that because of a person's anger and a person cannot control his anger, it affects the entire family circle. Sometimes it goes beyond that, it affects a person's entire family, and sometimes it affects a person's the entire community. So what are the guidelines that Allah's Nabi has given us? What beautiful advices Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the ulama have written so beautifully. They say that this is one, this is something that if a person does not make an effort to rid from his or her life, then unfortunately this will manifest. This is like a cancer, you know, which is malignant. This is like a cancer which will go from bad to worse. So one person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, awsini, give me some advice. Give me some advice. Nabi alayhi salam, no lengthy lecture. Nabi alayhi salam told him, la taghdab. Don't get angry. He said, perhaps could you elaborate? Could you perhaps elucidate? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated. He said, don't get angry. La taghdab. One advice Nabi alayhi salam had given him. What did he say? Anger is a burning coal. Subhanallah, anger is a burning coal. And like the ulama have written, Shawliyullah has written on this topic so beautifully, he says that anger, this is a secret weapon of man towards evil. But sometimes it results that you find a person who is sane, a person who is intelligent, a person who is an intellectual, when he becomes angry, he loses himself. Imam Shafi'i used to say that it's totally normal for a person to become angry. But he says that the problem with anger is if you don't know how to control it. So he says, don't be like a donkey. Don't be like an animal. You know, man istaghdab. That person who is overpowered and is, you know, his person becomes angry. And, you know, first nothing happens. Somebody does something to you, you don't become upset, you don't become angry. He said, you're like an animal. You know, because like a donkey, you can do what you want. It does not become angry. Similarly, a human being, you need to control yourself. You need to control yourself. We look at, you know, when we look at the aspect of anger, just to digress for a minute, we look within our marriages. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? That the throne of shaitan on the strength of Sayyidina Jabir, the hadith appears in Muslim, the throne of shaitan is on the water. And every day shaitan deputes his different agents to cause mischief on this earth. And at nightfall they come and report back to the devil. One comes and says, I managed to influence a person into taking some form of intoxicant. Shaitan says, very good, but that's not exactly what I wanted. Then comes another one, what have you done? He says that I have provoked a person, got him angered, and in a fit of anger, he divorced his wife. When shaitan hears this, he stands up, congratulates him, embraces him, salutes him, and he tells him that you have understood the object of my mission. The famous incident, subhanallah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dispatched those two sahaba to go and collect zakah. The elderly sahabi told the young sahabi, lengthy narration, he said, you stay behind and, you know, you prepare the food, the pot of food. And when I come back, we can partake of the meal. When he returns, this younger sahabi dozed off to sleep. The elderly man, he becomes upset and in a fit of anger, he kills this man. So what do we learn? That when a person is provoked by anger, let alone losing yourself, you will go to the extent of even killing a person. We look in our marriages today, a person becomes angry and then he issues the word talaq. And then we start looking for loopholes, we start looking for ways out that I was upset, I was overpowered, I was angered. So we need to control this. So these are beautiful advices the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's natural for a person to become angry. You will become angry, but we need to control our anger. Beautiful prescription, you are standing, you should sit down. You are sitting, you should lie down. You should sit, you should lie down. Why? If a person is lying down, you know, you're not going to scream on the top of your voice. You're not going to start screaming, so lie down, take it easy, you know, come closer. More than often, we find that anger is as a result of arrogance. It is as a result of pride. You know, if somebody who is more superior than you, you know, somebody tells you something, you don't like it, you're going to swallow your anger. Why? You cannot vent your anger at that time. So more than often, we find people vent their anger at the opposite party who is weaker than them, either at the wife or those that are working for you in your business, or perhaps somebody, you know, who is at your mercy. So we need to, this is a very, very important topic. It's something which is integral, and we need to seriously, you know, look at ways, inshallah, you know, to curb and to control our anger.
Definitely, Mona. You know, I'm just looking at the article here in front of me, and I see that we look at the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how beautiful the advices are, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to move away or to sit down when we become angry. And yeah, according to Western studies, we see that they say when you start to feel tense and angry, you should try to isolate yourself for at least 15 minutes or concentrate on relaxing and calming and steadying your breathing. They say inhale, exhale deeply 3 or 4 times in a row, or move away from that which is causing you to become angry. So from this, all of this here, we can see that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for us. And indeed, if we want to gain perfect knowledge and we want to gain the perfect lifestyle, then the best example to follow is that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also look at, you know, at many a times we become angry at some point, and What are the steps that we should take to control our anger and also that we ensure that we do not hurt someone? Mufti Saab, maybe you can give us some advice on this here.
Jazakumullah. And that, of course, is a very important question, is that how do we go about controlling the anger when we do become angry? You know, it's so important. First of all, we have to try and understand many of us who tend to have anger-related problems and they don't seem to be able to control their anger, it's not that they can't become they can't control their anger. Many a times it's just a very lame excuse. And therefore, if you look at the books of hadith, the muhaddithin, they are separate chapters on anger. And these chapters are actually titled, in some books of hadith, Babul Ghadabi wal Kibr, the chapter on anger and pride. Most of the time, it is these sicknesses, these spiritual maladies, they go together hand in hand. The person becomes angry because he regards himself to be better than thou, he regards himself to be better than the next person, and therefore he is able to give vent to his anger at certain points in time. And on other occasions, let someone greater than him or someone stronger than him cause the same harm to him, and that person is not affected then all of a sudden, because he knows that this person has got more power than me, he's able to all of a sudden control his anger. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Holy Quran to swallow our anger. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks us to control our anger. And just to narrate one particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, which is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the strong person is not one who can floor the other one in a wrestling match. He is not one who can overpower someone in a fight. He is not someone who can do that. Rather, the strong person is actually the one who is able to control his anger at the time of anger. So that is a very important hadith that we need to keep in mind. Most of the time, it's our egos and our emotions. And therefore, I heard on one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Sulaiman Mulla Sahib, Ramad Barakatuhum, he mentioned that we must keep two E's out of our lives, the E of ego and the E of emotions. Because those two E's, when they become part and parcel of anything that we are doing or about to say, then we are on the path to retrogression. We are going backwards. But if we keep these two E's out of our lives, our egos and our emotions, and you look at things objectively, you think for a moment that, look, what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be pleased with me or is he not going to be pleased with me? You know, and then you go ahead and you do it. Of course, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be pleased with me going to say this, then you abstain. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be pleased with me, because your conscience will tell you the truth, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be pleased with me, then you can go ahead and say it. And if you are doubtful, then we must remain silent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith that man sakata najah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advices most of the time were very, very short, but yet they were profound in meaning. They had a lot of meaning, volumes of meaning could come out of the verses, and if they had to be practiced and implemented at any level, that means if they were implemented at the personal level, or they were implemented at the family level, or at the community level, or at the provincial level, and if those advices were adhered to at the global level, then it would be better for anyone who adheres to those advices, and it could cause salvation and happiness at any level if a person were to practice upon those advices. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who remains silent, that person is successful. Many a time we just want to say something because the next person said something to us, so we want to prove that, you know what, if I stay silent, then that is going to affect my ego. It is going to, how is that person going to know that it wasn't right? Even if you are right, sometimes you just have to remain silent. And that solved all the problems. There was an alim, I heard in some lecture, that husband and wife were fighting. So they went to some amil, and we need to be careful when we go to amils and so forth, because a lot of time, you know, we just need to be careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us what we need to recite and how we need to protect ourselves. A lot of the problems that we are affected with in terms of seher and jadu and so forth is self-inflicted upon us. Nevertheless, I'm not discussing that at the moment. I'm discussing this particular aspect. So they went to one alim, and the husband and wife were disputing for long periods of time. They had been fighting. So this alim told them that, look here, he acted as though he's writing on a piece of paper. And he told them to put this in some water. And every time a fight starts, he told both of them to drink a little bit of that water. But it should not be swallowed, neither should it come out of the mouth. So it should just stay in the mouth. So they did exactly that. And of course, when you do that, then there's nothing that you can say. You can't say, because if you're going to say something, then it's going to come out of the mouth, or you'll have to swallow that water for you to be able to say anything. So after 2 weeks, lo and behold, all the fights had stopped. And they thought that it was because of the Taweez, but it wasn't because of that. It was just simply because they were not responding to each other in harsh tones when they became angry. Because most of the time, many a times, it is that, you know, you just want to say something because that person said something to me, so I must prove also that I have got a tongue in my mouth. An Urdu poet, he says very, very beautifully, he says, "Kisi par aaye ghussa jab, rahe phir yaad la taghzab." Maulana Muhammad Venkat Sahib, Adamat Barakatuhum, he mentioned this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the Sahabi that do not become angry. فَرَدَّدَ ذَٰلِكَ مِرَارًا. That Sahabi asked again and again for more and more advice. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, لا تغضب, لا تغضب, لا تغضب. Do not become angry, do not become angry. Repeatedly, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam kept giving the same advice. So the Urdu poet, he encapsulates it in this verse of Urdu poetry. He said, كِسِي تَرْعَائِ غُصَّى جَبْ رَهَي پھر یاد لا تغضب یہی مؤمن کا ہے مذہب یہ نسبت کی نشانی ہے. That whenever a person becomes angry, then remember that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, do not become angry, do not become angry, do not become angry. But for a person to remember it at the time of anger, he has to remember it when he is cool and calm all the time. He has to remember those advices. Maybe stick it on the wall somewhere in your house. Maybe do that. Remember those these verses or these ahadith, these narrations. لا تغضب. یہی مسلم کا ہے مذہب یہ نسبت کی نشانی ہے. And this is a sign that a person has got the nisbat and connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he does not just give vent to his anger in a willy-nilly sort of manner. So these are some advices. In other advices or other methods which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that inna shaytan inna al-ghadab min ash-shaytan wa inna ash-shaytana khuliqa min an-nar wa inna ma yudfa'u an-nar bil-ma fa idha ghadiba ahadukum falyatawadda. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says that anger is from shaytan. It comes from shaytan, that the person is this is that uncontrollable anger. Of course, the anger that is a result of some deeming or some valid religious cause, we cannot say that anger is from shaitan. That anger, if a person does not become angry at that particular point in time, but then again we are so far away, we don't, and we are, there is no balance in our lives. to learn this balance, we need to spend time in the company of the pious and righteous people. We need to appoint someone as a referee, someone who we can consult with, that, you know what, some pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, was it right for me to become angry at this point in time? Because sometimes we feel that our anger is very, very noble. It is a noble anger, and it is a justifiable anger, and it's something that is justified in the Sharia, because I became angry with my wife, or I became angry with my children because of some deeni matter. So therefore, I'm allowed to blow my top off, or I'm allowed to become very, very angry, I'm allowed to say what I want to say, and I'm allowed to ignore all of them and give them the cold shoulder, whereas it is nothing but pride. So to give us that balance, that when is the time that I am able to become angry, and when is it that I should become that I should maintain control over that anger, we need to ask spiritual guides and spiritual doctors, because these are spiritual maladies that are affecting us. And just like how we go to the doctor for physical maladies, like that we need to go to the doctor for our spiritual maladies as well. اگر جسم تیرا ذرا ہو علیل حکیم ہو کی سنتا ہے تو بے دلیل. That when our bodies are affected with some sort of illness, some sort of sickness, then we listen to the hakims, we listen to the doctors without any دلیل. So the same applies to our deen as well and our spiritual conditions, that we have to first of all identify these as spiritual maladies, and then we have to go to those people who have got the remedies to these maladies, and we have to ask them to give us cure, to give us to dispense with the medication that will cure these sort of maladies. So nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that innat al-ghadab min ash-shaytan, that anger, it comes from shaitan. And shaitan, when we're speaking about that anger which a person is supposed to control, so that anger is from shaitan, and shaitan has been made from the fire of Jahannam. He has been made from fire. Wa innama yudfa'u an-nar min al-ma. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that in order to extinguish the fire, what do you need? You need water. So when the person puts water onto the fire, then the fire becomes extinguished. So in a similar way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, فَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَوَضَّ. So when a person does become angry, and he is supposed to be controlling that anger, then move away from that place and go and make wuzu. So at least you will sort of be able to control that anger, because one, you moved away, and the other is you are extinguishing the fire of anger with the water of wudu. Then in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, and Hazrat Mawlana Venkat Sahib also alluded towards that particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in there that إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَفْتَجِحْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if any of you become angry, and it is, you are supposed to be controlling that anger, and you are standing, then at that time, then the person should sit down immediately. And if the person is sitting, then immediately, if he sits down and he's able to control his anger, then it's fine. But if he doesn't, and he still is unable to control his anger, he sits down and he's unable to control his anger, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person must go one step further, and the person must lie down even, so that he does not give vent to his anger in the wrong way, because giving vent to your anger in the wrong way, it destroys relationships that have taken ages to build sometimes. It destroys lifetime relationships. So many people say that, Maulana, after that, when the person says something in that state of anger, then there is nothing but regret, there is nothing but remorse. But most of the time, or many a times, there is nothing that can be done now to unmend what has been done. Because the person says in that state of anger, he blurts out three talaqs, and then he comes to the Mawlanas and the Mufti Sahib, and he says, Mawlana, what must I do? That I was angry when I said it. So does anyone give talaq when he's not angry? Does anyone sit down, you know, that he sits his wife in his lap, and then he gives the talaq in that? And then they want to know that because I was angry, so that talaq should not be counted. So, you know, by then it is too late most of the time. Then in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is again a very, very beautiful hadith. Rasulullah, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates, and he says that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, on one occasion, he gave us some bits of advice. After the Asr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he gave us advice, and this advice and this khutbah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam carried on right until Maghrib. And sometimes the time between Asr and Maghrib in Saudi Arabia, in Medina Munawwara, used to be for 2 or 3 hours. And from the wording of the hadith, it appears as though this advice that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam gave was very, very lengthy, because Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that there was nothing that was going to come until the day of Qiyamah with regards to the matters of deen, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not mention. He spoke about everything on that particular occasion, and he says that from amongst the things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned is that he spoke about anger. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam spoke about different categories of people with regards to anger. And he said that فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ سَرِيعَ الْغَضَبْ سَرِيعَ الْفَيْ. From amongst the people are those people who become angry very, very quickly, but when it's time for them to subside their anger, for it's time for them to control their anger, they're able to control that anger very quickly as well. So they do get ticked off very, very quickly, but they are immediately able to control that anger. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that فَإِحْدَاهُمَا بِالْأُخْرَى, that one of them is in exchange of the other. In other words, it's not such a good thing to become angry very quickly, but the very fact that he's able to control his anger, that is okay. So one, the bad part of it is that he becomes angry very quickly. That gets substituted with a good part of it, that he's able to control his anger quickly. So there's nothing very good about this person. That's what the meaning of the hadith is. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ بَطِيءَ الْغَضَبْ بَطِيءَ الْفَيْءِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then there are other people who it takes them very, very long to become angry. You have to persist with them to make them angry. But then once they become angry, then it takes them very long for that anger to subside also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that is also not a very good quality. فَإِحْدَاهُمَا بِالْأُخْرَى. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the best of you, O my Sahaba, O my Ummat, مَنْ يَكُونُ بَطِيعَ الْغَضَبْ سَرِيعَ الْفَيْءِ. There are those who, it takes them very, very long to become angry. Small little minor things don't tick them off. It doesn't cause them to start giving vent. It doesn't cause them to start swearing, to start losing their cool. But when it's the time for that anger to subside, so that anger subsides also very, very quickly. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that is the best of you. The best of you are those who it takes them long to become angry, and the anger subsides very, very quickly. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the worst of you are those who become angry very, very quickly, and for that anger to subside, it takes them very, very long. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this lengthy hadith, he says, in this lengthy khutbah, he says, اتقوا الغضب فإنه جمرة على قلب ابن آدم. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh my ummah, beware of anger. And keep away from losing your cool. Beware of anger, because it is a coal upon the heart of Ibn Adam. It destroys, in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, it destroys good deeds, like how the aloe plant destroys the sweetness in honey. It makes honey bitter. That is how anger destroys the good deeds of man. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَلَا تَرَوْنَا إِلَّا انْتِفَاخِ الْأَوْدَاجِهِ وَحُمْرَةِ عَيْنَيْهِ. Don't you see at the person's veins popping out? Don't you see how his eyes turn red in the state of anger? فَمَنْ أَحَسَّ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. Now this is the point with regards to your particular question as to how to control that anger. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whoever perceives even a little bit of that anger coming his way, فَمَنْ أَحَسَّ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْتَجِعْ وَلْيَتَلَبَّدْ بِالْأَرْضِ. So whoever perceives a little bit of anger coming his way, then he must lie down, and وَلْيَتَلَبَّدْ بِالْأَرْضِ, and he must stick himself to the earth, because the earth is something which is humble. It is down. People tread upon that earth. So when you link yourself to that earth, inshallah, your anger, your pride will also subside, and you will be able to control that anger. Of course, there are other remedies as well which have been mentioned in the Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Saad, rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say that if a person is not able to control his anger, then he must give, every time he gives vent to his anger in an inappropriate manner, then he must give some sort of charity and something that will really affect his pocket. So if he makes that lazim and compulsory upon himself, for example, if the person is one who earned, who it's difficult for him to give 100 rand in charity, but if he's a very big millionaire and it's easy for him to give 100 rand in charity, then that person should give 10,000 rand in charity. Whatever will cause him a little bit of taklif to give that in charity, every time he does that, he must give that bit of charity, and you'll see, inshallah, how quickly the spiritual malady of his, he'll be able to control it.
Definitely, Manaya. Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go for a small break, inshallah. And also, as a reminder to our listeners, that you can interact with us on our platforms, the different platforms. You can SMS us on 48855, or you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. We are discussing with Mufti Shafiq Jahura and Mulana Muhammad Banka. We are discussing anger management and how to handle and to control one's anger. Mulana Muhammad, we are looking and we see that the steps, and we mentioned that how to control our anger. We now look at the steps and the advices for someone who is angry. What should that person do? What about the person who is the cause of the anger? And what should he or she do, or rather not do, when they see a person being angered?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, again, we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ قَضَمَ غَيْرًا وَهُوَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ إِنْقَاذِ مَنَعَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ أَمْنًا وَإِيمَانًا. That person who curbs his anger. You know, when a person is angry, you know, whilst you are able to act, you're angry, that is when you want to vent your anger. But at that time, you curb your anger for the pleasure of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will fill that person's heart with iman and peace. And this is what we are searching and looking for in our lives today. I mean, over trivial things, sometimes we become angry, we are provoked into a situation. You know, the simple solution that Islam has given us, and there are many, many instances, time does not permit us, this is a topic on its own, you know, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advised, you know, many, many sahaba, because there are different sahaba who had presented the problems to the Nabi of Allah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with great wisdom. Allah had blessed him with great insight and simple words, but it was voluminous. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us look at the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The famous incident, one day Nabi alayhi salam comes to the home of Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Nabi alayhi salam asks Fatima, where is Ali? So Fatima radiallahu anha said, we had an argument and Ali left the room. You know, he's gone. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he goes and he finds Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib lying on the sand. And Nabi alayhi salam, when a person is angered, you don't add to the anger, you don't provoke the situation. We need to calm the situation down. So when you find your partner is angered, or you find another person is overpowered by anger, what we need to do? Walk away from it. You know, calm it down, calm the situation down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Ali and he said, Qum ya Aba Turab. That was the title of Ali bin Abi Talib. Nabi alayhi salam told him, Ali, stand up. Relax, calm down. Ali radiallahu anhu, according to one narration, he said, no, Fatima is like this and she is like that. We all know today, you know, if my daughters will complain about my son, you know, without investigating, naturally, this is an inherent quality. We tend to side, we become very biased towards those who are close to us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Ali and he said, Ali, calm down, take it easy. But your daughter, Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali, take it easy. Nabi alayhi salam took both of them, he said, Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu, and he set them down, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given them those beautiful advices that don't become angry, that don't be a woman who constantly complains. Don't be a woman who constantly complains. You know, sometimes we look in our marriages also, you know, where the wife constantly complains, she harps on something over and over and over again, and the husband eventually he is provoked to a situation, like Mufti Saab had mentioned, that, you know, where the husband is provoked into a situation of talaq and he cannot, you know, stand the situation any longer, and he utters the word talaq. So the simple prescription that Islam has given us is that walk away from the situation. Walk away from the situation, lest you may utter the words of talaq, and then you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. So this is the beautiful prescription that Allah's Nabi has given us. In any situation, when you find another person is angered, and you are in that situation, walk away from the situation. When a person is angered, he cannot see right or left, he cannot see top from bottom. You know, it is his emotions who have got the better of him. That is why the ulama have written so beautifully that do not take any decision whilst a person is in haste. Do not make any decision whilst you are angry, lest you will regret it at some later stage. So you need to take a calculated decision. But when a person is angered, you know, when a person is overpowered with anger, when his emotions have got the better of him, then it becomes very, very difficult to deal with situations. So the simple prescription, when another person is angered, do not sit there, lest you may provoke the situation, the person is anger will exacerbate, you know, you are going to compound the problem. So walk out of the situation. When a person is calmed down, then you can sit and you can relax and you can resolve the matter.
Indeed, Ma, we see that we're getting some interactions with regards to the subject here, and one person has sent in a WhatsApp message saying that her teen daughter and her are at loggerheads all the time. She really doesn't know how to handle this, and she seems that the anger always seems to be directed at her mother. So the mother wants to know, how does she handle this? Mona, do you have any remedies or any advices with regards to this?
Yes, this is a common problem, you know, with our teens, especially in this day and age, you know, where daughters become upset with their mothers, you know, and the person, like I always say, is that the daughter will not vent her anger with her friends, because those are her associates and those who she interacts with on a daily basis. She's not going to vent her anger at her grandparents, or for that matter, at her teachers, because those are, you know, people she holds in high esteem, she holds in high respect. One of the reasons that we find today, out of my limited knowledge and understanding, is the lack of respect that children show towards their parents. You know, the lack of respect that children show towards their parents. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very eloquently described it when he said, "Adna sadiqa wa aqsa aba." A person will draw closer his friend and he will distance his parents. At the cost of strengthening the bond between friend and strengthening the bond between parents, you will compromise that relationship. So we find that more than often this happened as a result of the lack of respect. So we find the children, you know, they tend to vent their anger at the mother, or they tend to vent their anger at, you know, at the siblings. So this is something that starts off at a young age. You know, like the example I always give, you know, if somebody is driving on the road at high speed and the camera flashes, what happens? You jam the brake. That's your natural instinct. Now, when you jam the brake, the camera has already flashed. Inevitably, you know, the ticket will come. So what we instill in our children, unfortunately, this, you know, the upbringing of children, this is a topic on its own. You know, where are we falling short as parents in a Muslim home? Where are we falling short? But nonetheless, respected sister, my message to you is, my advice to you is that I think we need to open up. Because one of the biggest problems today, the relationship between mothers and daughters, sons and fathers, is the lack of communication. The children cannot communicate with their parents. They try communicating, we shut them off. And that provokes the children into a situation of anger. And then they start venting their frustration. They start becoming angry at the parents. You tell them something, they do not want to listen. They become upset. They pull up their faces, which is a common phenomenon in many, many homes. You know, many parents today complain about this. I can't speak to my child. The moment I tell my child anything, he becomes upset. He pulls builds up his face. So we need to open the door of communication. We need to have an intellectual discussion with our children. You know, we need to sit down with them and have an intellectual. Not unfortunately, the mother is, you know, she keeps on harping. She keeps on shouting at the daughter. The father keeps on shouting at the son. Now, this is what is going to happen. So what we need to do, we need to open the door of communication. Let us sit and talk together. And one prescription the ulama have given, and this is a proven prescription, and that is to start ta'aleem into our homes. Like Mufti Saab had mentioned, that we need to align ourselves. We need to look at our spiritual selves. If there is Allah at home, if we got the deen of Allah at home, then alhamdulillah. You know, we find that all these problems, we will not find it in our homes. But once we bring the enemies, the race of the enemies of Islam into our homes, then we find these problems, you know, anger with, you know, children become angry with their parents. So we need to start ta'aleem into our homes. Start ta'aleem in our homes. Lead the lives of Sahaba, you know, the advices that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given. So sister, like I mentioned, my advice to you is that sit with your daughter and you need to start opening up. Perhaps there is a communication barrier that your daughter, you know, she's venting her anger. You know, she's becoming frustrated, and as a last resort, she's venting her anger. So we need to sit together, talk to one another, and see how we can work through our differences, inshallah.
Indeed. You know, Mala, you just made mention of looking at the lives of Sahaba. Mufti Saab, now, if we look at the lives of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, our pious predecessors, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'een, are there instances where when we should get angry, and when we should express our anger, albeit in a dignified manner?
Yes, indeed, Maulana. Of course, the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is a complete deen. And therefore, you know, the deen also provides us examples of when, let alone our pious predecessors, even at times where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself gave vent to his anger, and the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum sensed that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was perhaps not happy with something that was happening. And then in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and then in the lives of our pious predecessors as well, on one occasion, let us look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they both were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were seated there. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a copy of the Torah in front of him, and he was reading out from there, and he didn't notice any expression on, or he couldn't see because he was looking into the book. He didn't see the expression on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, his face started changing color, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu realized that the disapproval of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reading from the Torah in his company, for whatever reason that was. But at that particular time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not approve of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reading from the Torah. So, and although he did not say anything at that point in time, but his anger was manifested. His face started changing color. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately realized that. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he told him that look at the countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And immediately when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw that, he realized that what he was doing was not in the was not approved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked for forgiveness immediately. So that is something else that the person who is causing the anger needs to do. You need to ask for forgiveness. That is what we need to do. And the person who is becoming angry also, he needs to be large-hearted enough to forgive. He mustn't say now that, you know what, no, you made me angry, so I'm not going to forgive you now. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has told me nine bits of advice. And from amongst those nine bits of advice, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told me that wa'afwa amman zalamani, that I must forgive anyone who is oppressive towards me, someone who harmed me. I must be large hearted enough to forgive that person. And look at how Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he did that in the occasion of Taif, when he was beaten to the extent that his shoes were clogged in, his feet were clogged in his shoes because of the blood that was oozing out from his body. On that occasion, look at the forgiveness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is something that we need to learn, we need to, because when we speak about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not only, it's not only that we must use the miswak, or when we're making our wuzu, we must wash three times, or other sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those are the outward sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are very, very important, and we must adhere to them. But similarly, the sunnah of controlling one's anger at the time of anger, that is also a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, which we need to put and apply into our lives. Then, of course, there is another incident, the incident of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. On many occasions, they were angered by the kuffar, for example. They said things against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On many occasions, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, a sahabi would come to him, Ya Rasulullah, you know, allow me adrib ona sahab al-munafiq. Allow me to take revenge against this person, this hypocrite of yours. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would calm the situation. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would explain to them that it might not be appropriate to do whatever you want to do at this point in time. So in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum also, there is an occasion of one Sahabi, I don't remember the name at this particular stage, but he was in the battle and he had overpowered his enemy and he was about to take off that enemy's neck. And at that point in time, that enemy of his spat on the person's face. So At that point in time, the person turned away and went away from there. So this enemy, he pursued him, he went to him and he said, look here, you had all the power over me, and you could have overpowered me, you would have killed me, but you did not kill me. Why didn't you do that? And then when I spat on you, you had even more reason to do that. Why did you go away at that point in time? So look at the consciousness that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum had. He said to him that, you know, before you spat on me, I was fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had complete ikhlas in my heart. But the minute you spat on me now, then I felt in my heart. Imagine at that point in the battle, in the rage of the battle, when this is happening, to have such sort of consciousness and to have your finger on your pulse and your heart and to have your finger on what your intention is, that Sahabi says, the minute you spat on me now, I was going to take revenge for myself, so therefore I turned away. To have that control of a person's anger, isn't it a great lesson that we need to take from these lives of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum? So that is one or two incidences from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the life of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Then in the lives of our pious predecessors, there was an occasion in the time of Hazrat Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, one of the people who used to attend to him, he made a mistake, and it wasn't the first time he made that mistake. It was perhaps he made that mistake continuously, and in the presence of his uncle or his father, again that attendant of his made that mistake. So if I'm not mistaken, it was Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, or it may have been one of our other elders. He says that Sheikh, he says to that attendant, that, you know, how much must I tolerate you? How much must I tolerate you? You're making this mistake all the time in the presence of other people. Now you've made the same mistake. How many times I've told you? So the one of the other elders who was sitting there, he said to him, ke bhai tum unko itna bhukto jitna tumko apne aap ko bhugatwana hai. That you tolerate him to the extent, this is how much you must tolerate other people, is to the extent that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tolerate you. Because to whatever extent you tolerate the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will inshallah tolerate us as well. So therefore we must have that sort of large-heartedness. Most of the time, respected listeners of Radio Islam, most of the time, the anger that we have, even, it's very, very selfish. It's very, very self-motivated. It's narrowed. It doesn't have anything to do with deen. It's because we were busy or we got no time for our children, so that now if they come and say something, they need that attention. Sometimes it's the children that saying that daddy play with us, but daddy is so busy on Amazon.com or so busy updating his profile or just chatting to people where there's no need to chat to even, but just playing with the phone, that we don't have time for our children, and then when they say something or they do something and they just want our attention really, then we become angry with them, and we blow our tops with them, and then we blow our tops with our families, and we blow our tops with other people. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and allow us to control these spiritual maladies.
Indeed. Mufti Sahib, we've received an interaction here, and this person writes that if a person is right in an issue, what should he do? Also, if he keeps quiet, is there a reward for him? Does he have to prove himself right in an argument or a disagreement?
You know, there's a time for everything. Sometimes a person might be right, but it may not be the appropriate time to say that one is right. It may not be the appropriate time to give advice to someone. That is why my Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Ramat Barakatuhum, he says that, you know, nasihat also is not a stone that you pick up at any time and you can throw at anyone. Nasihat, there is a time and there is a place for nasihat as well. So even if the person is right, it might not be the appropriate time to say that he is right. I'll give you an example from the life of Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh. On one occasion, he told a person that what you are doing is incorrect. I don't want to mention that particular thing at the moment, but he told that person that what you are doing now is not in accordance with the Sharia. So this person, at that point in time, he said, Sharia ki aisi taisi. You know, he said words which were not appropriate in terms of the Sharia. So Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi said that at that point I realized that even though I was right, I was giving him some bit of advice, but whatever he was doing was at the most something that was sinful. And now when he said these words, right, he could have come onto the brink of kufr and disbelief. So every time a person is right, it may not be the time to express that he is right. We have to do something. It reminds me of the words of Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi rahmatullah alayhi. He said, and it's a beautiful prescription, very, very beautiful, and it will help us in our anger control and management as well, inshallah, that if a person says the right thing, number one, first of all, say the right thing in the right manner, on the right occasion, and with the right intention. So four things must be right. That say the right thing in the right manner, on the right occasion, and with the right intention, you will see the right results. And if any one of these things are wrong, that means you're not saying the right thing. You're either exaggerating or you're not saying it how it is supposed to be said. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one hadith, he says that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told me that I must say wa kalimati adli in dal ghadabi wa rida, that I must say that which is absolutely correct and just, irrespective of what my mood is. It doesn't mean that the person is in a good mood, so he says he flatters the person, or the person is in a bad mood, then he says things that are which are not correct at all. The person says that which is correct, irrespective of what his mood is. So say the right thing in the right manner and on the right occasion. Many a times we raise things which are right, but if the occasion is not right, or and with the right intention, or the intention is not right, we just want to prove that, you know what, we also know something better than the other person, or if he said something or she said something, then I can also say something else, I also got a tongue in my mouth. So then we're not going to see the right results. If you want to see the right results, then do say the right thing in the right manner, and we will inshallah see the right results. And one more point for this brother is that in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I guarantee for the person, let's say there is a dispute, and the person is on haq, he's right, But just for the sake of unity, and just for the sake of avoiding conflict and dispute and fighting and quarreling, the person says that I'm not going to say that I'm right, and I'm not going to argue for my haq. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give me, because whatever I understand and I realize that whatever is written for me, I'm going to get it, even though I may not get it in this way, but some other time in my life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to bless me with that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that the person who avoids conflict and he gives up his right, even though he is right, he gives up his haq, even though he is right, he is on the haq, he is on the truth. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, I guarantee for such a person a house and a palace right in the middle of Jannah. So every time a person is right, a person doesn't have to say that he is right. Of course, there may be occasions where it is important for him to say that, you know what, this is what is correct, and there is a dignified manner of doing it, and that is what must be adhered to. And if a person doesn't know how to approach that subject, then he must approach someone who can guide him. It's so important to have this referee in our life. Some spiritual guide, some spiritual mentor who can help us and guide us on these difficult or these different occasions of life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala guide us.
Indeed. Mala, we are already reaching the end and we need to go for an air break also. So inshallah we'll conclude on this here. Mala Muhammad, your closing comments with regards to this discussion.
Okay, with regards to, like we mentioned, Alhamdulillah, Muqtasab has given some very beautiful, pertinent advices, and Alhamdulillah, we should try and heed these beautiful advices that Muqtasab has given us. With regards to anger, this is a common trait. This is found in many, many people. We find amongst the Sahaba, the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had become upset. She had become angry. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam held her hand and he said, O Aisha, you need to say these words, that, O Allah, forgive my sins and remove anger from my heart and save me from misguidance. Because as a result of anger, sometimes a person will utter certain things, a person will say to certain things, and then you're going to regret it, you know, perhaps for the rest of your life. So Imam Ghazali has given a very beautiful prescription, you know, and he makes mention of an incident under the commentary of this verse, the verse of the Quran al-Kareem, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that those who forgive, they swallow their anger and they forgive people for the pleasure of Allah. He says once there was a slave girl, you know, there were some visitors at home and she was preparing the food, and she had this tray laden with food, and as she was coming to present this tray of food, she happened to stumble over and she fell down. She looked at the master, he was upset. Naturally, he was upset. I have visitors at home, and now this is what has happened. So she said, I will not speak to my master. He's a man who believes in Allah. He understands Quran. So she says, I will recite the verse of the Quran al-Kareem. And she recited the verse of the Quran amongst the qualities of those who believe in Allah. وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ, those who swallow their anger and they forgive for the pleasure of Allah. The master looks at the slave girl and he said, I have swallowed my anger and I have forgiven you for the pleasure of Allah. So for Allah's pleasure, let us overlook, let us forgive. If there are two angry individuals, you're not going to find any solution. So we need to be composed. That is why we look at marriages, the right of talaq. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given the right of talaq to the husband and not to the wife. But we find that more than often, the woman, naturally, they are emotionally overpowered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are so many examples. Whilst traveling with his wives, on one occasion on his Hajjatul Wada, Nabi alayhi salam told Aisha, you know, Safiya's camel is a little slow, so why don't you take your bedding, put it on Safiya's camel, take Safiya's bedding, put it on your camel. At least in this way, we can move a little faster. Aisha radiallahu anha becomes upset. She becomes upset. And she comes to the Nabi of Allah. Are you the Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, of course I am the Nabi of Allah. But why should I carry somebody else's bedding? Abu Bakr becomes upset. He comes and he gives his daughter Aisha one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, take it easy. Don't you know when a woman is overtaken with emotions and sentiments, at that time her emotions get the better of her. So Islam, Allah ta'ala has given us a beautiful formula. Allah has given us a beautiful prescription. When a person is overpowered, you are in a situation where you can vent your anger. At that time, remember, Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam used to advise his son that, oh my son, when your authority incites you or provokes you to oppress the next man, at that time remember the power that Allah has over you. At that time you can vent your anger. You are in a position of authority, whether it's with the wife, the staff in the business, but at that time, for the pleasure of Allah, do not vent your anger. Let your anger subside. Take wudu. This is one of the beautiful prescriptions that Islam has taught us, that take wudu and turn to Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. So we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability, you know, that we work on our spiritual selves. You know, one is our ibadat. Alhamdulillah, we are performing our salah. You know, we are fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan. We recite our tilawat of the Quran, which is meritorious, it is virtuous. But we find that when it comes to anger, and many people, you know, are guilty of this, and they will tell you that I cannot control my tongue. You know, I do everything else, but this is something which is beyond me. So we have identified the problem. We need to make a concerted effort. Inshallah, let us see how we can work towards solving, you know, this malady of anger.
Jazakallah khairan. Muftisab, your final comments with regards to this discussion?
I would just like to repeat those verses of Urdu poetry so that, you know, we can take something back from this. And that is that kisi par aaye ghussa jab rahe phir yaad la taghab yahi mu'min ka hai mazhab ye nisbat ki nishani hai. That whenever we become overpowered with anger, then remember the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la taghab, la taghab, la taghab. Do not become angry, do not become angry, do not become angry. Yahi Muslim ka hai mazhab. This is the way of a believer. A believer is not one who is overpowered by his anger. And ye nisbat ki nishani hai. This is a sign that the person has got some sort of connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to control and rid us of spiritual maladies. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allow us to have blissful lives which are full of happiness and make our homes jannat on earth. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
We say jazakallah to both Mufti Sahib and Mawlana. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to practice on these advices and to bring it alive in our lives. From myself and my engineer, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.